Are you there? I can't hear you. Could you breathe a little louder, please? I can't. Are you there? I can't tell if you're there. I'm just going to start the show anyway.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Hello. Hello. Stark in here. Hello.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Are you there yet? Are you listening?
Whatever.
Good morning. What, not yet? Okay. Good morning. No? How about now? Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, that worked. Sit back,
relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
You know you've been doing this too long when you start talking back to your own opening recording. There's a certain amount of insanity involved with that. Welcome to the program. Happy holidays. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. Hope your dreidel is good. That's the only gift I can think of for Hanukkah is that damn dreidel. It's like a spinning top. I don't get that. Hope your Christmas went well. Hope you got everything that you were asking for. I did not because I woke up this morning and Trump was still president, so that holiday didn't work for me. But I hope you did fine and had a good day and peace on earth. That didn't work out, did it? That's on all the greeting cards. It says peace on earth or goodwill toward men. Women, not so much. Men, yes. You know, there was a time in our history when women weren't even mentioned. It was all geared toward men. Women were just like side dishes, you know? They didn't even let them keep their name. You're married to that guy? Yes. Well, you're going to have to. You were made up from one of his ribs. Did you know that? I did not. And you have to change your name and your identity, and it's like a witness protection program. Yeah, you're not yourself anymore. You take his name, you take his life, you move into his house. He's going to pay for everything. You just bring up the kids and shut the hell up. That's the way it was, and you know it was. Don't deny it. Now it's the other way around. Now men have like no place in society whatsoever. Women are just taking over everything because they're able to do everything. Men can't have children. Women can. Well, they win then. Men are the side dishes now. Men are just the accoutrements. It's women that got it all. And they look damn better too. I don't know about that actually. Women are very pretty people, but for the most part, they're really low in self-confidence. They have to put makeup on to look good, they think. You don't. You've got a screaming body. You're very attractive. You don't need all that clown makeup. Men don't wear makeup at all anymore. So who's the better looking sex? Now I don't know. But women rule. Men do not. Women rule. But only in American culture, in the Middle East and other places, women still can't do stuff. In this country, men can't do stuff. They breathe the wrong way, they look the wrong way, they're chastised and cast out of society. Women got it here, man, and it's about time. It's about time the roles got reversed. But there's one role that still bothers me, and I talked about this on the show about a month ago. That for some reason women call each other guys. They've not only taken over the country, they're actually calling themselves masculine names now. Hey guys, let's go out for lunch. They're not guys, they're girls. I thought guys was more of, I didn't know that that was a, you know, I thought it was a masculine thing. No, now it's, no, guys refers to a group of people. That's like Southerners. They call everybody y'all. Y'all want some pie? Y'all want to go down to the store? Y'all feeling like I, y'all think it's hot? It's very degrading. Call me by my name. Don't group me into you all. I mean, in the South, I'm just part of a large group of you all. I don't like that. I don't like to be stuck in a group. Speaking of group, I don't like Groupon because it's got the word group in it. I don't like that. I don't want to be part of a group. I hate tour groups.
All right, now if you come over here, this is a statue of Rodin, missing all his arms. Actually, I've got my statues mixed up. Now let's, this is a piece of art by Renoir. Now if you follow me, I'm not following you. I'm not going to go through a museum in a group. I don't huddle my masses. If I go to a museum, I'll walk at my own pace. Why do they think everything in a museum is so ultimately interesting? Because it's not. It's not. Not everything in the museum is it. Just because your stuff's hanging in a museum doesn't mean you're good. Museums to me are ego buildings. Not building one's ego. I mean talking about egos in a building. You think your stuff is that good that it should be hanging on a wall in a museum? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Wow. Because much of the paintings that I see in art galleries, in major urban art galleries, are kind of like... See, I don't get Van Gogh. Van Gogh is a very interesting person. A lot of problems. He had a lot of... He should have been seeing a shrink. Probably was. But Van Gogh, I couldn't understand what the hell it is. And Picasso, your interpretation of bodies, Picasso, is like, people don't look like that. They don't have noses growing out of their knees, and I don't understand you guys. And then there are the impressionists, like Rich Little and people that do impressions. Impressionist? What are you talking about? You're a painter. Isn't it interesting that painters, artists, are usually struggling? They're struggling to sell their art, and yet at the same time, they never say to themselves, I'll just buy a truck, put my name on the truck, and I'll start painting houses. You can get about like $1,000 a room to paint a room. Why are you bothering with little pieces of art that take you like 3 months to complete? When you could paint a room for $1,000 in 3 hours. I mean, Van Gogh should have had a truck. Van Gogh painting. We remodel kitchens and, get into the business, man. Paint some houses.
I've painted a masterpiece. It's Whistler's mother.
Yes, but did you paint my house? Try doing that. It's not that easy. You need ladders and stuff.
Look, I just painted a bowl of fruit.
You painted a picture of a bowl of fruit. Wow. And you spent time on this? Because, you know, there's no reason that I need to see a painting of a bowl of fruit because I've got one on my kitchen table. Why you just take a picture of it with a camera?
Look at this. It's a perfect rendering of a bowl of fruit.
Why, though? How? What?
Look how the apple is perfectly leaning up against the banana, and the grapes are like falling over the side of the bowl. Isn't that art?
No, it's a bowl of freaking fruit. Stop it.
Ugh.
that Campbell's soup thing, right? Remember that? Remember that? The painting of a can of Campbell's soup? Never understood that. I actually met the guy who did the Campbell's soup can. Andy Warhol. But Andy, I got to tell you, man, are you on drugs or something? Why did you waste the time painting a...
Look at this fantastic art I've painted on canvas, a can of Campbell's soup.
Normally, that person would be committed to a psychological institute. Excuse me, you spent all your time painting a picture of a can of soup?
Yes, I did. And it's hanging in a gallery.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with me that I don't understand this? It's not understandable. And yet people line up around the block to see these pieces of modern art. I went to a museum, a very prestigious one, and in a room all by itself with spotlights on it was a large piece of canvas, totally white. In the middle of the piece of canvas, about a 3-inch black dot was drawn on this gigantic canvas. There was a line of people to see this piece of art. I really wanted at that point to take my own life because I thought at that time, I don't belong on this planet. Why? How can you have that hang in a gallery? A blank white canvas with a little dot in the middle, and this is a significant piece of art? Is it a joke? Am I on camera? Is this one of those things where you catch people off guard to get their reaction on something so absurd and ridiculous? No, Ron, it's real. Wow. I don't get it. I don't get it. Do you get it? Do you?
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Yay. I think I'm a hypochondriac. Not sure, but I think I am. I had a headache Sunday, 2 days before Christmas. And for some reason, I've had headaches before. You've had headaches, haven't you? Sure you have. There's a multitude of reasons you could have headaches. So I had this headache, and all of a sudden, I said to myself, I must have some type of a blood clot in my head. Maybe, but no, not necessarily. Why am I going there? I took an aspirin and the headache went away. But why did I think all of a sudden that this was a cataclysmic part of my life? It could have been. It's possible. But why go there? And I realize it's my age. It's my age. I didn't worry about this stuff when I was younger. As soon as I hit 23, it was all over. Ow, my arm fell asleep. Must be a blood clot. Could be, but probably not, but could be. I started that at 23. I think I had read somewhere that by the age of 30, your body starts deteriorating. At 30 years old, there's some information I don't need to know, but I found it out. And since then, it's been all downhill psychologically for me. And it should be for you too, because that's absolutely true. Anyway, some things that you worry about, some things you don't worry about, I guess you should be worrying about.
I did an interview just before the holidays. We didn't have time to air it. And this is a Dr. Julie. And something quite simple. She kind of made me feel like, you better think about this, Ron, and double check it. This is what happened. Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Dr. Julie Philly joins us now. She's the University of Texas Health. And Philip Liebman joins us, President, NTM Info and Research Incorporated. Thanks for being with us. We're talking about when a cough might be more than the cold or the flu. And, of course, the obvious question is, how do you know? I'm assuming that if your cough isn't from dripping down the throat, then it's probably something a little different. Is that accurate?
Well, I'll take that question, Philip. Yes, that can be accurate. In fact, a cough that does not go away, especially with the use of antibiotics, is usually a sign, or perhaps a sign, that you may need to seek advanced healthcare attention to see if there's something else going on.
All right. Now, Philip Liebman joins us now. I understand that you actually went through this firsthand with a loved one.
Yes, I did. My late wife was diagnosed in 1996 after many years of becoming ill, being treated with a single antibiotic and getting sick again. Once somebody ordered the correct test, we knew that it was NTM, and that opened up a world of additional treatments that helped her live a lot longer.
May I ask how long she was concerned about the cough before medical treatment was started?
Unbelievably, it was 6 years.
Whoa.
Because nobody picked up on it. And that interim, yes, what was my reaction too?
Yes, right.
That picked up that allowed extensive lung damage to the lung tissue,
yeah,
which made her treatment more complicated,
yeah,
which is exactly why Dr. Philly and I want to be here and talking to you.
I assume that medical technology has advanced us from those years, which seems like a long time ago, but wasn't. That tests are a little more advanced now in order to catch it earlier.
Yes, they actually are. And non-tuberculous mycobacteria are bacteria that live in the environment. So the usual way that we diagnose this is through a test through the sputum or whatever someone has coughed up from their lungs. These bacteria are found commonly. We live around them. Fortunately, they do not make the majority of people ill. But when someone's at risk or they do become ill with these chronic symptoms of cough that won't go away, weight loss, fatigue,
yeah,
it usually warrants investigation for the illness.
All right. Well, I don't have weight loss, so I know I'm all right, unfortunately. My fear, as Philip, yours probably was that is every doctor up on this? Would every doctor realize this or order tests? Or should I seek out a specialist? I guess the more I know, the better off I am, but it's hard to commandeer your own health when someone with a degree on the wall is telling you what's going on.
That's a really good question. If a person is becoming ill on a recurrent basis, cough that won't go away, meaning you're treated, it goes away, it comes back, you should think about it. And not every doctor is thinking about NTM,
right,
which is exactly why we're on the show with you.
Right.
We're trying to raise that awareness. It's not complicated once you think of ordering the tests.
All right. And it is a good idea for us to be informed, as you are here today, for us to know about this so we can, not to be scared to say to your doctor, can we discuss this? I've heard that this was a possibility. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and usually doctors appreciate patients that understand their symptoms and do some homework before the visit.
Yeah. See, so we don't know what doctors are thinking, because they're revered people, because, you know, my health is kind of important to me.
Hey,
so
doctors get sick, too. We're normal humans. I think we understand more than you know.
I've always wanted to ask you that question, just as a quick aside. How come doctors aren't sick all the time? Because they're always treating sick people. How is that possible?
I think you never know what other people are going through. I think there's plenty of doctors that become ill as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for bringing this up today. Now people are aware that this is a possibility, and
It's good to know. I appreciate the time from both of you. Is there a website or someplace we can go for more information if this has popped some questions into some people's heads?
There are two excellent websites. One is aboutntm.com. The other was written by a patient, my late wife, ntminfo.org. They will be great starting places for any patient or even physicians that haven't heard a lot about NTM.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Julie, thank you so much for your time and your expertise. And Philip, thanks for turning something horrible into something educational and good for others. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Ron.
You take
thank
care.
You.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. It's no wonder where my medical paranoia has come from. Anything could be something horrible, or it's just normal, but you don't know, so you check it out. So I check out a lot of things. I don't know. For some people, life is easy. For some people, it's not. Mine is somewhat dramatic in that sense. I know. Once a week around this time, my rubbish is picked up. Also, it is... why did I say that? Can you explain that to me, doctor? Why did I say that? Actually, I thought that was a very insightful question that I asked the doctor. Why don't doctors get sick? If I were a doctor, I'd call in sick every day. I have a cold. I caught it from, like, 20 of my patients yesterday. If you're spending all day treating sick people who are contagious, why don't doctors get sick? Do they develop some type of a shell, an immune system? What is it? What's up with that? What is that about? How come they don't get sick? I sit in a waiting room or on a bus or in a theater with someone coughing behind me, and 3 days later, I'm in intensive care. I mean, what is that? I catch everything. But doctors, they're around sick people all day. That's their job. That's what they do. What do you do for a living? I'm around sick people. That's what I do. How often are you out with an illness? Never. I never get sick. Well, how is that possible? Because I'm a doctor. But you're around sick people all the time. This is like, it goes around in circles. There's just no answer to this. I'm fascinated by that. Doctors should look terrible. They should look spindly and sick and fluish and horrible all the time, because they're always around fluish, horrible looking people. How is this not possible? How do you do this? Do you self subscribe, prescribe, subscribe, subscribe? Do you subscribe to Newsweek? Is that what it is? Do you prescribe to medications that somehow are miracle drugs where you never get sick ever?
Doctor, I think I have shingles and smallpox.
Well, let me touch you then. Let's see what happens here. You know, just because a doctor wears little rubber plastic gloves doesn't mean they're not breathing in your air in that tiny little waiting room that's 4 feet by 4 feet. The room was any smaller, it'd be 4 sex. I mean, how can you not touch people? And yet they never get sick. Are they from this planet, actually? Are they actually from this planet? Maybe not. Anyway, once a week, we have conversation with Alicia Carey. Alicia Carey is a fashion designer in New York City. She's part of that highfalutin stuff. And we catch up with her at a coffee shop in New York City. And we have chit-chat with her about almost nothing. Pretty much social issues. We talk about ourselves. It's very intimate. And you can listen in. How often does that happen? Usually you have to put your ear up to the door to hear two people have conversations that you shouldn't be there listening to. But we do this out in a coffee shop. Now, I'm in the Boston area. She's in the New York area. And yet, it's time for chit-chat with Alicia Carey. It is time for a chit chat, and Alicia Carey joins us now from New York City. Big Bad Apple. I ask you the big question every week: are you in a coffee shop?
Yes, I am in a coffee shop. Right. Thank you.
Because you know, this is radio. We have to paint a picture, and without that background information, there's nowhere to go.
Well, it's a dreary day, but it's Christmas Eve, and so it's an even more special day. I think Christmas Eve, believe it or not, is even more favorite for me than Christmas Day. I don't know why. It's anticipation, I guess.
Perhaps so. Perhaps so. Both of them are not in favor, as far as I'm concerned, socially, but they're nice. They're nice for people. Which brings us to our topic of conversation today.
Yes, sir.
It's coming to the end of the new year, and I think you brought up the fact that it's kind of time to look back at the previous calendar year, whoever made the calendar thing, and to figure out, was it a good year? Did we learn anything? Did we become better or worse in the course of this past 12 months?
Mm.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, what's your idea?
Thank you. Recognize. Can I start off first, please?
I would like you to, yes.
Thank you. The reason why I brought it up is because it has been a banner year for me, and I'll tell you why. I know, right?
Did not expect that.
I say 3 years ago, a whole bunch of stuff started happening to me, and it was like a tumble down effect, if you will. It was definitely a fall down, you know.
Uh-huh.
Everything went askew. Business, uh-huh. friendships,
uh-huh.
Living situation. Uh-huh. Everything was like, it was literally like somebody, you know how you do, you know, those, forget the game, I forget what it is, and you pull the block out and everything basically tumbled down.
Yes,
like it wasn't even a,
I got
it wasn't
you.
Even a, it wasn't a slow fall. It was just like a fall. And I was like, and I couldn't get my footing.
Right.
I couldn't get my footing. And I finally got my footing in 2018 at the start of it. And I have to say that's what makes me grateful because even though while I was falling and down, I learned so many lessons and I needed that fall. So I'm not saying I'm complaining or woe is me. I'm actually saying I'm grateful for that fall because It was a house of cards. It wasn't even the block ones. It was a house of cards that I built, including friendships, including relationships, including my businesses, including just how I operate. So I got a reset, and it took me a while to realize it because when you fall, you don't really, you have denial, you know what I mean? You're still clinging to old ways or you're still whatever.
Yes.
And then there's an acceptance. And after the acceptance, then comes the realization that you need to rebuild again. So I'm going to say 2018 has been an amazing year for me. I'm doing things like on the radio with you. Mm-hmm. I have launched my collection.
Mm-hmm.
I've cleaned up who I consider friends.
Mm-hmm.
Remember our topic on that one?
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love with me and who I am and my power.
Wow.
And I'm stopped shielding who I am and what I'm all about. And I've stopped, my godmother would say, giving myself away, meaning I was very generous, which we talked about, to people, but never that generous to myself. So even though I still give and I'm giving to people, I give to myself first.
Good.
And that's it. And so because of that, I'm going to say it's been a great year. And even if it wasn't a great year, meaning in terms of things turned around, it was a great year because I learned.
Okay.
I think that was the main thing is I learned. And I definitely, the best thing is I learned and I saw myself again, the person who I recognized that I hadn't recognized in a long time. And she's great.
Well, all right. All right. Well, there's your answer. Mine's the opposite. The floor did come out from underneath.
Really?
But there are many wonderful things that have happened during the year.
Absolutely.
I think if I look back, for some odd reason, something happened in 2016 that kind of sent me askew. I can't imagine what it was, thinking back, but something did. And I felt at that point that my foundation was gone because I'm very politically attached.
I think I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
I think I know where you're going
to
go.
Being in the media, I have to keep up on every little nook and cranny, which is sometimes not wonderful. And so I was very aware of this floor coming out. And the floor just seemed to get goner and goner and nowhere to be found anymore. By the way, goner is not a proper grammatical thing. It's not even a word.
But we accept it. It's a holiday.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So, now it's even getting worse. However, that's on a foundational standpoint. As far as little things in my life, they've been really kind of wonderful. So I have, as you said, very astutely, these are teachable moments. These are things, when things don't go well, that's a time to reverse, learn from them, and make sure they don't happen again. So there's been a lot of that. This has been a school year for me as far as that's been concerned.
Well, you're very articulate, and I'm going to piggyback on just teachable. Mm. They're actually opportunities. I'm going to just say this to say that. I have come out of this, mm-hmm. Or not out of it, I shouldn't say out of it, but come through it or whatever. Mm-hmm. When we're down and out in Beverly Hills, so to speak, mm-hmm. one of the things that we tend to do is bury our heads in the sand and wait for the storm to pass.
Yes.
And we shouldn't. Actually, that's when you can actually see the mine. That's when you can actually see the diamonds. That's actually when these opportunities are around us, but they're on the floor. We're used to reaching for opportunities, and when we're down on our face, we feel like, oh, we can't reach. But what's a funny thing is the apples are on they're fallen from the tree, and they're right next to us. They're actually easy accessible. Mm-hmm. The only reason why we can't see these opportunities when we're down is because we're having major pity parties for ourselves. But
well, yes and no. I sometimes when there's a tornado, you got to get into the storm cellar, and you can't emerge until the tornado has passed. Otherwise, you'll be swept up in the tornado, and you'll have no opportunity to do anything. So this is kind of a tornado. I put it on the analogy of a tornado.
Okay.
In the storm cellar, you can have a little life down there until the storm does pass. It doesn't mean you have to just sit there and twiddle your thumbs. There's things to do in the storm cellar that can advance you personally while the storm is passing.
Exactly. And also, when you come out of the storm cellar the storm has passed, okay, there is the opportunity to rebuild even better. I feel that that's where we get a reset button. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, myself, my foundation was shoddy, but I never knew how shoddy it was. Mm-hmm. Never knew. That's what I'm trying to say.
Point.
I never knew that I had really seasonal friends, or I didn't really have a great family foundation, or I didn't even have a great Alicia foundation. Mm-hmm. The only reason why I found out that it was shoddy, shaky, it was rotten, was because after it was destroyed, I looked around at my surroundings and realized I had built on sand. Yes. I had built on
there
cards. So then I said to myself, you have to build again, but this time you have to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So that when a storm comes again,
yes,
which it will, because that is life, it will not do what it did to you the last time, which is destroy your whole, your whole world.
Yes. Yes. I've never talked in so many analogies in my life, and I'm quite comfortable with it.
Me too.
Anyway, it's pretty cool.
There's some connection. We're lost at birth. And I don't know if I ever told you this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not good at, like, doing contacts in my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me why.
I don't know.
But about a year and a half ago, I don't know why, I put you in my phone.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know how. It popped up, and I was at the Apple Store, and they were doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, is that a contact? I'm like, yeah, televisuals. I put it in there. It's in my phone. So maybe.
Now
this
you're
is
stuck.
All before.
Now you're
well,
stuck,
this is all. This is all before we got started talking.
Uh-huh.
So. You know, there's so many little nuggets all around us,
yeah.
But I digress. And by the way, I just also want to add
mm-hmm.
that you are a bright spot in terms of 2016. 2016. Listen to me, 2016. Now you got that stuck in my head. I know what you're talking about. By the way,
I know you do.
2018. You are a bright spot. Not just one of the things that I really appreciate about you, because as a producer, And as your co-host, I've heard you online, and I've heard you talk. And some subjects matter. Let's just say you're not thrilled with, or topics, or maybe even personalities.
Of course.
But you would never know, because your level of professionalism has always been very, very gracious. So I just want to say it's been, you know, I appreciate the opportunity, and also I appreciate the fact that you do your job in a way that I've listened to a number of times, and you've been extremely respectful, regardless of the, like I said, the topic matter, or regardless of the personality.
Well, you have to be somewhat, and as some people realize and some people don't, radio is a performance. It's different than other occupations. You have to perform. If I just talked about flowers, this may not go over very well. So, yeah, you got to appear concerned and stuff. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes it's dramatized. But, yeah, the people know what's inside. They get that pretty quickly. And right back at you, you have been one of the bright spots as well of the previous year, and this has been golden stuff. So I do appreciate that as well.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
What do you tell your audience out there who say, okay, 2019, how do we make it better? What's your 2 cents?
Keep your fingers crossed. And secondly, it's a time to build yourself. And that's, I guess that's the message that I have. If you can weather storms, you are a stronger person. If you've never weathered the negativity and the storms, then you've never grown, you've never strengthened, you've never built a solid foundation. So those are positives. Out of every negative, I truly believe, out of every negative comes a gigantic positive. You just have to see it and do something with it.
Absolutely. And I'm going to piggyback on that. If I had an advice for somebody for 2019, for about a year, I'm really going to say that make that year your you year. Be selfish, meaning take time for yourself. Once a week, do something that feeds your soul. If you like movies, go to movies. If you like to massages, get massages. If you have a house full of children and they try to take your time and you got a husband, carve out time in the day or in the week where you get to do whatever that makes you happy. So I'm just saying, being a little bit more selfish, love yourself more, because when you love yourself more, it allows you to love others.
Yeah, very good. Wow. You should be like in a church on the pulpit. You know, you should be.
Oh, stop it.
You know, you should. You should tell people. And, you know, like a motivational speaker. Then when they leave, they forget it anyway. But while they're in the church, it's fantastic.
Well, okay. You know, you're doing a good job yourself. Rev Ron.
Whoa, yeah. Whoa. Okay. Well, we'll talk again next week. Who knows what the subject will be? We'll figure that out. Have yourself a wonderful holiday, Alicia.
I will. And I'm going to say this, and I hate to use this word because Donald Trump didn't bring this, but I'm going to say Merry Christmas. And to all those who are listening, you know, that's it.
Beautiful. Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will cap off today's activities. But fear not. Don't fear. Fear not. I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show, and it should be quite exhilarating. Until then, I wish you peace.